What is going on, Border Nation? It is Wednesday, February 18th. You're listening to another episode of the Border Breakdown Podcast. Tonight I'm your host, Evan, with Aaron here, our buddy Tanner. Might join us later. He's kind of might be pulling double duty tonight with another podcast. Now he was featured on another podcast tonight, so we'll see if he's able to join us as we kind of reflect on, I guess we have two games, I guess, to technically talk about, but obviously the big one was last night's, as in Tuesday night's, home loss to Michigan. What did they look like at 91-80, I believe was the final score. In front of a sold out crowd, Mackey Arena, a game where saw Purdue kind of get a, you know, kind of off the jump, got a nice little start going. But I mean, as we kind of saw, Michigan's number one for a reason, as Painter said afterwards, like, you know, preseason number one doesn't mean anything. You know, if you're number one in February, it's because you've earned it. And my God, did that team look the part. Just a very impressive game from Michigan. Not a whole lot to come away with outside of that in terms of just what they are as a team. You know, from a Purdue standpoint, obviously it's very frustrating. You know, give up that 15-16-0 run in the first half, and that was kind of the game. It sucks. You know, pretty battle back out within, I think, eight in the second half, late in the second half. But every time Purdue made an attempt, it was either a shot and then they hit a shot or whatever it was. It just, what?
You go or, no, I was going to say, or it was an air ball.
An air ball. I was getting to that. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, which four shots from Fletcher, and especially that last transition three of the taking at the top, pretty much at the logo.
Which I like the shot, honestly. I was okay with it. But as soon as it left its hand, just from where I was sitting, I was like, ooh, that is not even close. And it was not. Yeah, and obviously on Saturday, Purdue went to Iowa City and really had a dominating performance. A game that was, I know we talked about last week, where you know, that was a game that we were all pretty nervous about. I know Tanner had projected of the two road games, we had one that we would drop. But man, it pretty looked really impressive, kind of just dominated, kind of just, you know, that was the first Iowa sellout in 2 years, first of the Ben McCollum era. And Purdue just took the air out of the building immediately, just never looked back, which was really good to see. And you kind of hope that might carry into Tuesday, but it was just kind of like what we saw a couple of years ago in the national championship game with UConn, and just run into a better team. I let Purdue kind of do what they wanted down low, especially in the second half with Trey, and just took away any chance for a kick out for a three. So obviously credit to them, but yeah, just frustrating. Frustrating the fact that, you know, Big Ten is all, you know, I'd say 99.99% out of reach now, you know, save a Michigan or collapse, and same with Illinois. Now come to, you know, puts them in the big tournament if this team wants some sort of championship. And then obviously you're still playing for seeding. Obviously this team is, you know, their ultimate goal is what's going to happen in that couple weekends in March. But obviously, you know, it just sucks knowing that one of those, you know, goals they had for the start of the year is potentially over and done with.
It is. I think unrealistic expectations on with the number one and national championship and bust. I think we can park the brakes. I mean, I know I would.
Hold on here.
Hey,
1 second. Let's have a special guest here.
Oh,
welcome to the stage, Tanner Lee.
Hello, guys. Hopefully, I haven't missed too much.
Did you just come from a Seattle Supersonics like podcast?
No, I've just been wearing this hat today and the green shirt. I didn't even mean to match, even though it's different shades of green.
Yeah.
No,
we were just I kind of introed a little bit to talk about obviously I know Tanner, you and I were both lucky to be at the game last night. Great environment, place was ready to pop, but just kind of ran into a much better team. You know, frustrating from a standpoint of giving up that 16-0 run in the first half and just couldn't overcome it. But you know, it's, as we said, as Aaron and I were talking before we started, like, that was a damn good team that we ran into.
I mean, it's
more frustrating the fact that now one of the goals of the team is over in terms of a Big Ten regular season championship.
Yeah, Big Ten regular season championship, goodbye. One seed, even though it was going to be hard to get anyways, that's gone, especially in the Midwest. Number two seed's probably gone in the Midwest now. But I'm glad we're doing this podcast now instead of right after the game last night. Because it's gave me room to think and breathe a little bit. I'm not too mad. I mean, like you said, that's a damn good team. They're very similar, I think, to UConn 2 years ago. Will they win it all? I don't know. I mean, crazy things happen in March, but they're definitely gonna be tough to beat. I mean, I didn't think Purdue played all that bad last night. There were moments. I mean, like you said, we were always in arm's reach, just couldn't get over the hump. But a lot of it's credit to Michigan. Every time we were making a run, they answered with a big shot. And when you're ranked number one in the country and you shoot over 50%, pretty tough to beat on the road. Pretty tough to beat. And, you know, it seems like the formula to beat Purdue is hope Purdue's missing shots and out-rebound Purdue. Because when Purdue's been out-rebounded and hadn't shot well, particularly from three, that's when they usually get beat, especially at home.
I will say on the offensive rebounds, I know that Purdue did out-rebound Michigan that in the offensive rebounds. Yeah. But the actual tap outs that they were having to either Cadeau and just nailing threes or Lettenberg, it was just unbelievable.
They were physical. They were physical.
When you have Johnson and Lettenberg who are NBA size, Lettenberg, to me, I see him, and this is what Vince Edwards, I always wanted him to be.
I like that. Yeah, that's. He's much bigger than Vince, but yeah, that was like if you had like
the skill set. To see a 9-man deep team, I've never seen something like that. Just this late in the season, just not easily just go that nine and those guys would be starters probably somewhere else.
And what's crazy is their 9-man Trey McKinney was a McDonald's All-American. He's a freshman.
Yep.
Like when your 9-man is a McDonald's All-American, that is
maybe you guys already saw this. I got Twitter over here on my other monitor. And Ant Wright an hour ago tweeted he's doing film breakdown of the game. Every Michigan three-pointer made was catch and shoot. Michigan is 94th percentile nationally in unguarded catch and shoot jumpers. 10 of 13 made threes were registered as unguarded.
And that makes sense because that's what Painter talked about in his press conference. This team doesn't have like a Jaden Ivey to recover. Like what they have in Lindenberg and Johnson. I mean, they can literally just rotate and catch up and have the length to actually go and swat the ball like Ivy did when he got beat. This team has to foul and they're not quick enough to get to the outside shooter when they actually collapse inside when that ball then is kicked out. And the worst one was those tap out off like their tap out offensive rebounds and how they could not get back in regards to getting set, and Michigan just exposed them every single time on that. It leads to my blind rankings actually tonight that I put together because I will say you, Tanner, I don't know if you saw my text last night. I think that's the best Big Ten team out of years. Like in regards to Ohio State was the last one where you could actually – a bunch of old new guys plug and play and that be that elite. So that's what we're going to do is we're going to talk about, I'm going to have you guys rank. I assume that they're going to be a number one seed going into March. I'm going to have you all rank these previous number one seeds in the last 20 years, blind Big Ten schools, blind rankings. Okay. So, and I want you to rank them where you thought they would probably had a chance at a national title. Okay. We ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 2013 IU.
I mean, you had two top five NBA draft picks on that team and a lot of other good college pieces. Yogi Ferrell, Jordan Holes, Will Sheehy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm missing a few. They just ran into a horrible matchup for them with the zone of Syracuse in Sweet 16. Yeah. I'm going safe and putting them at three.
Okay.
I think so too. Just because I think I feel like they kind of stumbled like right at the end of the season, because I know they didn't get the number one overall.
They were the fourth, I don't know if they got seed. The
Midwest.
They lost to Ohio season, State so and still cut down the nets.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah, and I part of it's too, because I just wasn't, and plus Purdue was so bad that year.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying a lot of attention, just being in school. It was tougher to pay attention to a lot of more national stuff. So I was so jaded about basketball because Purdue was bad. I'll be safe and pick three.
Okay. Next one, 2011 Ohio State.
Man.
So if this is the year of Solinger, like how dominant they were, Buford, Kraft.
Did they make the Final Four that year, or was it the next year?
They made the Final Four that year. They were that 32 year,
okay.
They were 32-2.
I don't know why I thought it was their next year. They made the Final Four and they slipped up that year. But yeah, Purdue split with them that year. I went to that road game. It was over halftime.
Deebler's still making threes.
I mean, they were really good, but I, for some reason, remember back then not thinking that they weren't going to win the title. Even God, nobody saw UConn and Butler meeting in the championship that year, but that's how it panned out.
Right.
I'm going to put them a five.
I'll go four. Kind of same thing. I don't remember the talk being around them as much as like even like that IU team.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
No, the talk wasn't around. I mean, because that really wasn't a great like NBA like prototype team for the you had Buford, you had Diebler, you had Solinger, you had Kraft. These weren't NBA bodies.
Who else made the Final Four that year? So it was so you're saying if it was Ohio State, it was Ohio State, Butler, UConn, and who?
I'd have to look real quick. Let me give you the next
2011.
One.
2011.
Yeah.
Let me give you the next one real quick, and I'll if you're looking that up. 2023 Purdue.
2023 Purdue. that's my five. Just because of how are you talking about like 2022, 2023 season, correct?
Yes. Yep.
The 2023 tournament. Okay. Yeah, that one I'd say was my five just because it just felt like even though they won the Big Ten tournament, we won the Big Ten by three games, it just felt like every game, the last, I don't know, maybe like 5 to 8 games of the season, including the Big Ten tournament, was just like just a fight, like just trying to like just scratching, even against like your, you know, like quote unquote team, just felt like you were just exhausting yourself to get the win. I remember that Penn State Big Ten championship game. It was like, I think we were up, had a decent lead, and they came back and all that. And obviously, we know how it ended. Just going into it, I was just like, I was happy to get the one seed, but I was just like, man, I just felt like they just had a gas. Like,
yeah, I'll put them at four. It kind of felt like they were slipping up at the end. And looking back, I mean, it's easy to say this because they lost their 16 seed. I felt like that team overachieved, whereas the one the year before underachieved. So,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Going back to 2011.
Yep.
2012, because it was in New Orleans. That's the one they made. Because that was with Anthony Davis.
That was Solinger's sophomore year they made it.
Correct. Because they lost to Kentucky in this one, because it was UConn, Kentucky, Butler, and VCU was your Final Four in 2011.
VCU. Yeah. I should remember VCU.
Yeah, I should remember that. Duh. God.
Yeah.
All right. Where we stand, what you guys have left. One and two.
I got one and two, yeah.
Okay. Team where I admire the most, 2007 Ohio State. Still want to go to the certificate.
They pretty much ran to the one team that could beat them. That was a loaded Florida Gators team that was going back to back. I'm putting them at two, hoping that you have who I think you do that I can put at one, but I don't know. So I'm putting them at two. But they were pretty darn good.
I have one team. Yeah, there's a team that I've had in my head that was going to be my number one. So we'll see.
And now we know Lynch isn't going to put them there, and then we're going to be stuck with somebody else.
2021.
No. I will say that this – this Michigan team and that team is what I know. Brian compared, you said both about the UConn in regards to how that Michigan team, but plug and play, it just straight up reminds me of that 2017.
The best money can buy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a legal birth certificate, because I believe Greg Oden was probably 30.
I think Bill's 30 for Oregon, so.
I will say Daquan Cook was the most underappreciated person on that squad.
Yeah, he really was. Oh, but yeah. Without him, oh, yeah, they don't win that Xavier game in the second round.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, so the Cinderella that you all think, 2015 Wisconsin.
Yep, that's what I was waiting on. Yeah, that team was freaking loaded.
Made the Final Four the year before.
Yep, they were on a mission. Kaminsky, Decker.
Hayes.
God, I know they were deep. I know I'm forgetting a lot of others. Man, they were tough. They were fundamental. Bo Ryan was so tough to beat then. Because we gave him a good game on the Saturday of the Big Ten tournament that year, but ran out of gas.
I was watching that game in Spain with all my Wisconsin friends.
Well, I think it would take down to, like, I believe this Michigan team is probably the best, probably since that Wisconsin team, to have the best title shots out of the Big Ten, because it's been now 26 years. But, I mean, time will tell and matchups will tell in regards to who gets drawn in their bracket. But I think they have an answer for almost everything, unfortunately.
Yeah, since Michigan State won it, if we're going that far back, I think the best team was still Illinois in 05.
I agree.
That 05 team, the NC team, though, McCants, May, Ray Felton, that was a loaded team, though, that they were.
Sure. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, that Illinois team lost to Matt Sylvester on a buzzer beater at Ohio State when Ohio State couldn't even make the tournament, and then UNC. I mean, they had a miraculous comeback against Arizona in the Elite Eight. I know that. But, I mean, that team was loaded, too, with pros and good college players. And Bill Self, who's slimy but a good college coach. I mean, I still would put that team even over the 15 Wisconsin team.
Well, I didn't want to put that team in there because I figured that would be
that's fair.
Or you too easy. Both clean too. Yeah. Thought about putting both Purdue teams in there, but I didn't want to.
I was wondering if you're going to put the 24 Purdue team. Yeah.
But anything we want to talk about on, I guess, Saturday's game in regards to any?
I got to watch 7 minutes of it, so this is on you too if you're going to. I didn't get to watch barely any.
The only thing I would say is Stites being held to, like, wasn't it 9 minutes left in the first half with his first field goal? Am I remembering that right, Evan?
Yeah, he like really didn't start scoring until it was like 8 minutes left in the game. Like, the game was already decided. Like, started in his – but, yeah, that was an impressive – it felt like Iowa was letting that Maryland loss linger too long. Because there was times where like they just looked disinterested. Like, there's a couple like loose balls or passes where it's like they don't even want to be there right now. Like, kind of like Purdue played in, just very listless, and yeah, Purdue just took it to
them. But I would say getting that huge win out there, expectations through the roof on Tuesday night. To then see how it was and how it ended. It is what it is at this point. Still. Very good team. Still 5 games left. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world.
No, there's still a good chance to run the table.
Yeah, there's still a good chance. I mean, with Wisconsin losing to Ohio State last night too, that game gets a little bit more concerning though. It does look like they're going to have to pick themselves off the map once again. And define kind of what they want to be known as, because unfortunately, I think this senior class might be, when you look back, at polarizing, kind of when you think about it. I would say in a lot of people's minds, I mean, this podcast included, that the experience you thought would outweigh some of the mistakes that they do make, but they do let the mistakes, unfortunately, rear their head in execution of those items. I did see a thing on the board in regards to, like, why aren't we recruiting length? Why aren't we recruiting length? And I'm just like, I don't think that would have been the answer anyways. I don't think Colvin and Heidi being on this team would have made a difference either.
No.
It is what it is, and they're only as good as there's some of their own parts. But the problem is they have weaknesses that are exposed like they were last night. That effort can't, unfortunately, will out. I know they tried to make it close, but unfortunately it wasn't. Still a very good team, but I just wonder how this senior class is going to be remembered, you know, next decade. Like, are we going to look mm-hmm. back fondly on it? I think we will.
They've accomplished a ton, and they'll be looked fondly just because they were part of the team that made national championship. Their resumes are really impressive, but they have some weird holes on them too.
Yeah.
So you have
the freshman year. That's, you know, that's one.
1-3 in Bloomington.
Yeah.
Yep.
Losing 3 home games this year.
Yeah, hasn't been so done far. Was it? Yeah, 2019-20. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we lost 5 that year.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think. I think part of it too, just because, like, especially from Braden Fletcher's standpoint, because they've started every game, so like, we've just seen them so much, fans. So it's very easy to nitpick a thing. I mean, we've seen it, like, with those two guys, especially, like. It's when they're awesome, like they're everybody's favorite player, and when they're struggling, it's the reason why Purdue will never get back to a Final Four. It feels like, another one thing, I was talking to my dad with the game afterwards. After the game, when I walked back to the car, he was like, "Oh, you know, Michigan just showed everybody how to beat us." And I was like, "Yeah, but like, not everybody can do what Michigan just did." Like, it was like this thing with UConn. It was like, many teams tried that exact same thing against Purdue that year and couldn't do it. It's like, you just need the right. It was just like, again, it's a part of the suppression about that year is like, of course, the 1 year Purdue makes it to the tournament or to the finals in a fluky tournament. They run up against the one team that was better than them all year. Whereas, you know, we just talked about 2011. It was Butler versus freaking UConn.
Butler should have been out against Pittsburgh, but somebody fouled Matt Howard 80 feet away from the bucket.
Yeah, it's just like, of course, 1 year. Or it's like, I mean, 2023, you have San Diego State and FAU, you know, or San Diego State in the final against UConn. Like, it's like, why couldn't we have? And obviously, part of that was our fault for losing the FDU with the FAU getting all the way there. But just like, it was, of course, the 1 year we made it, like, nothing fluky really happened.
Yeah.
But it's like, and I was telling Lynch before we came on, is I think part of the reason I was so just kind of bummed out last was like, after watching that game, I was like, Michigan is who I was hoping Purdue would be this year. From a just like, because obviously last year, the team had some issues, but, you know, maybe the run against, you know, Houston covered up some of the less fun parts of last year, but, you know, getting Clough, getting Meyer, getting, you know, these other guys was like, okay, this is a team that can, like, shouldn't be a lot of weaknesses, it feels like. And obviously, we were kind of talking last night, like, when Clough has a bad game, it's almost like might as well just be last year's team, because if he can't play, then it is last year's team, essentially. So, which last year's team obviously had their moments and had their weaknesses, but that's just the thing that's the most frustrating part. Is just, you know, again, everybody said if Purdue came into the year ranked 7th, this probably doesn't hurt nearly as bad, but just given the fact that. No, and I think we all agree, like, we don't probably think Purdue deserved number one, but in this age of college basketball, they have to put somebody number one, and it's going to be mostly probably just team with the most known commodities, and that was clearly Purdue. I was telling Lynch before we started, I think I saw it was on the boards or Twitter, Purdue's a top 10 team, just not a top 4 team.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, and, you know, I'll be honest, I remember on our basketball preview, I said, is it a natty or bust, you know, because it just all felt like, oh man, this team's got everything now. They filled the one hole they're missing. Oscar Clough should slide in there. It's in Indianapolis. Stars should align. But, you know, we've had some rocky moments through the season. And of course, to throw fuel on the fire, all the success down Bloomington football season has not helped the mental state of any Purdue fan. whether they will admit it or not. And even when that happened, a lot of Purdue fans were like, well, you guys will have to put up with us in April in Indianapolis. And you don't hear too many saying that right now. But absolutely, Purdue could still get there. I mean, the tournament's fluky, and Purdue's still good enough. Like, that's what I was telling myself last night. Like, I think Purdue's going to benefit from getting out of the Big Ten, and as weirdly enough, maybe getting away from Mackey Arena as well. And because there's going to be a lot of other teams when that draw comes up Selection Sunday that don't want to see Purdue in their bracket. Because Purdue causes problems for other teams too. We're just so used to watching them all the time. We kind of know what they're good at and what they're bad at. But they're a nightmare. Not a nightmare, but they're a matchup problem for a lot of other teams too, especially outside the Big Ten. So it's just going to come down to hitting shots at the end of the day, I think, for this team. I really do. I mean, they hit a few more three-pointers last night. Maybe the game turns out a little different because, especially in that second half, Michigan, you could tell they were getting a little nervous. But then every time they got nervous, they would hit a big shot.
Forgot a rebound or something.
Yeah, they made big plays. And that's what good teams do. But they weren't just stepping on Purdue's throat, but they were never letting Purdue get within single digits either until 2 minutes left in the game.
I will say this, though. Great teams and great players do not have 0 points in a half of a game. And if he actually puts up buckets, I know Meyer came in and actually provided a spark there in the first half. And if he doesn't do that, that game's probably even a larger blowout than it is. And I understand to me, I know Tanner will get this reference, but it's like a backdoor top 10 in a golf tournament. Is kind of what it felt like.
Yeah.
It literally was just window dressing, but it was worse than it was. Like if you go back 10 years from now, that game was a lot bigger in regards to what was at half and everything else. And the length bothering Braden, bothering CJ, it's concerning on that front that if we ran into a mid-major that has some length, what could that be?
I'm worried about that because, like, and it's probably a bad game because it was such a bad game, but, like, Memphis had length. Texas Tech had length. Memphis, more specifically, because I'm just like, I don't want to give the clicks, but, like, the whole Mark Tide video really pissed me off today because the whole, if people hadn't seen it, he compared Purdue to a suburban AAU team that had to go into the city and play the city kids and didn't know what was going on. It's like, that's such a – it pisses me off. It's just such a tired
narrative
for Purdue. Like, again, Mr. Houston. People thought, oh, Houston's like – that's going to be a death trap for Purdue. And Purdue was a last-second shot away from going to another Elite Eight. Like, we heard it against Tennessee years ago. We heard it against, again, like Alabama this year. We heard it against Texas Tech, Memphis, I'm trying to think who else. But, like, we've heard it every single year. It's never really been, like, unless it's, like the absolute elite teams. We heard it last year against freaking High Point and McNeese State. Like, McNeese State is way too athletic for Purdue. Like, it's a trendy upset pick. And the game was never really truly in doubt. But again, it's like last night shows that that's going to be a team you're going to have to play probably in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, depending on where your seed falls, Final Four, obviously. Like, so that is where it gets concerning. But if we get to that point, then, hey, just roll it out there and let's go.
As I stated, this is definitely a second weekend team. There's no question about it. Minimum six, Sweet 16, max Elite Eight, and you get lucky at that point from there.
Yeah, it's about matchups.
Correct. Yeah. But where I was going with the length thing is, I know you brought up McNeese State. The only thing would be those teams have confidence versus what we played in regards to Memphis. I know Texas Tech did, but Texas Tech's also probably a different team now than what we played way earlier in the year.
Yeah.
So, like, in Memphis is trash, in my opinion.
Yeah, they are.
But, like, I'm just talking about you have a little mid-major, like, with confidence. And the one thing I wish that would change would be if Fletcher would have the confidence that Klein did and just sit there.
Yeah.
I know he jacks up threes, but just start going unconscious because it feels at times he's just forcing shots. And it's like, man, if you would just let it go, I guarantee this, like, and just not think about it, I bet you would start not second guessing, because I feel like there's some hesitation.
I don't know. Last night there was two of them in big moments where he let go that I wish he would have slowed down a little bit.
He should have not. He should have drove on the one.
And I know he was trying to bring the house down.
As I told Lynch, the second one I was fine with. The first one where he pump faked and then shot, I was like, ooh, that's not a good shot. But the second one I was like, fast break, let it fly, because him and
he was so far out there, though.
Yes.
Oh my god,
he was. As he shot it from an angle, I was like, oh my god, that's not even close.
Yeah, and I'm not blaming on him. Those two did hurt. I mean, because that roof was got a pop, and Purdue had cut kind of single digits both times with some time left, and it's not meant to be.
It's not meant to be, and you know, again, pick themselves off the mat. That's probably what Painter's telling them. You know, that's what champions do, and if you want to do it, got to deal one more time.
Well, yeah, you got to go take care of business Friday night against the opponent that's already beat you once. They're not going to be scared. They're rested.
Yeah, they're in the tournament right now, but they're still looking for that. You know, they're not safe by any means. Like, they're a couple losses away from being right on that bubble. But a win on Friday, I think, all but secures it. I would think.
Did Ohio State play themselves back into the picture last night too?
Yes.
Last four in?
Yes. I think so. Okay. Yeah. Even having in the year where that could be like, I feel like the last like 4 years, there's been an Ohio State Indiana game at the end of the year where it's like, the winner gets in.
Yeah.
And last year I thought the same thing and neither team got in.
Freaking football schools, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing that pissed me off about Michigan is Michigan could win the title. And they won't care nearly as much as they did 2 years ago.
They don't care about all their basketball success they've had the last 15 years.
Yeah. I saw last night, I think they had like a QD commit. I was like, I bet there's some people that watch that basketball game that are now pissed off because they lost that QB commit.
Sure.
Seems like a 4-star. Sure. Like, that ruined their night.
Yep. Yep.
You are correct, because I bet they – I don't think they probably look at Beeline, what Beeline did with Burke, Hardaway, like great. And I think they'd be praised like at Purdue for something like that.
Absolutely. Sure.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Like it's maybe one day we become a pro football school and we can think this way. maybe one day.
I'd take just being pretty good at both.
Yeah.
That's wishful thinking, I think, right now. But, I'm not too down today. It's just I don't want it to spiral like it did last time into three in a row. That's my thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my – especially just from the – which, again, I don't – you would think with the seniors that, you know, with this loss of, like, now, hey, the Big Ten is now out of the picture, like, you would hope that doesn't kind of linger. But maybe the fact that it is a short turnaround that you kind of just have to – flush it and I'm sure, you know, playing your rival has to help, you know, get focused. And again, if they want to be 500 against that team, they have to win on Friday.
Exactly. And you can't think, oh, we'll see them again in the Big Ten tournament, because it's only happened one time. That was an inaugural one in 98. Hadn't happened since. Yeah. So this quite possibly will be their last time ever playing against Indiana. They don't want to go out on a losing note.
They won't.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
Shut up.
Oh, God.
God.
Well, how do you think this team is going to lose on Friday night? National televised game on Fox. There ain't no way. They don't have a post presence at IU.
I thought we were going to out-rebound them by 25 the first game. We out-rebounded them by five. Five.
And you think,
and that's they play not, like they play like six guys.
I guarantee Friday is going to be a different story. Not guaranteeing a score, it's a different story.
What happens if it doesn't? What if you just jinx us? What happens if IU wins?
I don't believe in that crap. I really don't. Like you all sitting on pins and needles. No, I don't believe in this. Like it's time to pick yourself off the mat. If you want to be champions, you got to pick yourself off the mat. And you're going to have to push the boulder uphill. And it don't get any easier on Friday night. It don't get any easier Tuesday night, the only thing I could say is Northwestern. Maybe if you take Martelli out of the game, it might get easy.
Crazy things have happened there. We've seen good teams go in there and get beat. So
I'm concerned about Ohio State, though, and Wisconsin at the end.
Ohio State will have like 8,000 fans there. So
unless it's on CBS.
It is on CBS on Sunday. It's a Sunday CBS game. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a 1:30 national game.
Okay. But, I didn't realize that was announced.
Nah, they won't. They don't go to games.
I will be on record. We'll go on. We'll predict this game, but they're going to run the table 5-0.
I do believe that could happen. I saw people that were like, their next loss comes in the Big Ten tournament, and I can see that easily. I can also see us losing to Ohio State because for some reason Purdue is keeping Diebler employed.
True.
He's 2-0 against us. But
next loss would probably be a Saturday or Sunday Big Ten tournament.
I'd take that right now.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at, and then it's where the draw is. But
I got a trivia question for you guys real quick. It's in relation to Purdue, Indiana. Who has scored the most points in a Purdue IU basketball game all time? It could be either side.
Just one game.
Yeah.
Right?
Who has the most points for a single game in series history?
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
Was it in our lifetime?
Nope.
Okay.
Not in our lifetime.
Mm-mm. And I have to remember like some really good players. I've got an okay. I'm not gonna ask what team because I don't want to do that. I've got an answer.
Go for it, because I have one too.
I'm gonna say Joe Barry Carroll.
Barry.
I was actually thinking him or Isaiah.
I was thinking like, I was thinking honestly, mostly pretty players, but to be honest, because I couldn't think of very many. Oh, is it a bobblehead?
Yeah, it is. He's pulling it down.
Oh.
Joe Barry was my first guess, but I was thinking Isaiah.
Not Big Dog. Big Dog at 33. I just showed that one off. Not Joe Barry.
Oh, was it Rick Mountain?
No. Mr. Rick Mount with 41 points his junior year with no 3-point line.
And no 3-pointer. Yeah. I should have thought of that.
I was thinking Rick Mount.
Yeah, what year was that? Was that 68?
Yeah, whatever his junior year was.
Because senior year was the title runner up year, right? 69.
Correct. Mackey's. No, his junior year was the runner-up team because then his senior year was Mackey. No, they started with UCLA.
I thought Mackey was 67.
You might be right. I don't know. But yeah,
was Isaiah even up there?
I just found it. It was an article in the Exponent from 2 years ago. Talking about really good performances and Rick, and I knew nobody broke that in the last 2 years. So Rick Mount 41 points, that was the most.
My original thought was like, did Yogi go off 1 year?
Hood Schifino at 35.
Yeah, that's what I was actually thinking.
Oh, that's right. Schifino.
Son of a bitch.
I blanked that. Yeah.
Wait.
He'd be
wait,
perfect wait. On this Indiana team, by the way.
He would be.
Honestly, I heard it. Honestly, who they need is Trayce Jackson Davis. They need somebody freaking rebound.
That's true.
Wait, time out. How many did Joe Barry Carroll have?
I don't know. I just showed him off since you both guessed him. I don't know how many it was, though. I mean, I'm sure he had good games against them.
Okay, because I thought you said he was second, and I was like, I actually...
I know it said Glenn at 33 once, but...
Okay, and Hood Schifino passed that, so that's why I was thinking Isaiah as well.
And I can't think of any other Purdue guys in our lifetime who've hit high 30s. I mean, Edie did really well against him, but I think he maybe had 30, yeah. But I don't think he had 38 or anything.
Did Biggie have his sophomore year a good game? Biggie's sophomore year, what was his game?
I just remember the blarge, him and Thomas Bryant. Block charge call.
Yeah. Then, yeah, do you remember that call? Yeah.
Some goaltending on Hammonds.
Hammonds, I thought, had 30 that game, and we got blown out.
He did. That was a home game. That was his freshman year.
Yeah, because he had that fast break. Yeah, he had that fast break dunk.
Yeah.
That was the game that Tanner got caught flipping off the camera.
What?
You got to text that game that you were flipping off the camera.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I do not remember that at all. Are you sure?
Sound like Tanner.
You were,
I guarantee I flipped somebody off. I don't remember getting caught on camera.
You got a text. You're like, I got caught on camera flipping somebody off.
Really?
Like flipping the camera off.
I mean, no, I guarantee I flipped. Evan had more middle fingers than Will Sheehy than I'd ever seen anybody. So
that is still to this day by far the closest I've ever gotten that to guy. Wanting to run on the court and fight somebody. I would have died, but man, I wanted to. We were in the upper arena. So
yeah, we were.
Yeah, launch myself off that. I think we were the first row. I was ready to launch myself off that thing. I was miserable. Oh man, that is by far the maddest I've ever been at a game.
I was thinking the other day, what's like the lowest I've felt, like not like Virginia Elite Eight, because that was a different kind of low, but it was the year we finished last in the Big Ten. It might have been that same year, losing to that Northwestern team on senior day.
I got
Drew Crawford and those guys.
I was at the CBI game.
Oh God, I guess Iona.
That was awful.
No, Santa Barbara, wasn't it? Wasn't Iona, Santa Barbara.
Good place had probably like 5,000 people. Because I was with my friend Colt, my future roommate Colt Tribbett. We were we were sitting. We weren't even standing. We were sitting in the stands. Like, it was just like that sucked. That game was awful.
That's pretty low. Yeah. Could be worse than right now.
Of course.
We're 21-5. We're 21-5. Yeah. That's what people like.
Yeah.
I do want to bring up a few questions to you guys. I had a couple text messages from some people today, last few days, last two nights. I kind of put them together in some thoughts here. One person wants Painter to reevaluate how he builds his roster the next 5 years. We need at least a couple of nasty defenders. He sold out to build an offensive juggernaut / team of shooters, and none of them can actually shoot. Thoughts?
Well, that's a lie. They're going through slumps. So they're not shooting 45%. I get it. I was thinking about this last night. I was like, I saw this on the boards. A lot of people like, Painter's way is not working. I was like, I guarantee you, if we would have won last night, the narrative would have been that's why Painter's philosophy is the way it is, because it's going to beat out these. That's what it's been against, like when we've talked against Illinois, of like, oh, I have Painter's philosophy versus the Illinois philosophy of buying a new team every year. Like,
even if he wanted to do that, could we?
No,
I don't think we could.
Exactly.
I mean, like, and it's not like we don't have money to obviously just prove that we, you know, with the addition of Pierce, like, it's not like we beat out, you know, Northwestern, Minnesota,
right,
in Nebraska for him. We beat out Duke, UConn, Louisville.
Yeah.
Like, Gonzaga's probably the poor.
They don't have a ton of money, but still.
Basketball school. But it's like, you can get the excuse of like, well, you know, these teams probably don't want to allocate that much. It's like, okay, they still wanted them. And it's not like he's, I doubt we're getting him on the cheap.
You're right.
It also helps that his brother's, you know, downstate in Indianapolis too.
Of course, but still, like, I mean, Louisville's close. Like, yeah,
pretty close.
I bet Duke or UConn would charter a jet for him if he wanted to go to Indianapolis on a Sunday. That wouldn't be a problem.
And his brother might not even be in Indy. Come for you.
Oh, he will.
Yeah,
he will.
Unless somebody throws a lot of money at him.
They're going to re-sign him. It'll be Pittman they get rid of.
You're probably right.
Going back to the question, I don't think – now, I think where there are issues is Painter is loyal to a fault, but it's also how we've gotten to where we're at too.
Right.
He could have very easily gone out without we could land somebody, easily gone out after Braden's freshman year and gotten, you know, a true, obviously we got Lance Jones, but he wasn't a true point guard. He could have gone out and tried to get, you know, a true, you know, senior point guard or something like that and push Braden away. You know, that could maybe let him transfer, who knows. But I do think, yeah, there could be, you know, nasty defender, but again, it's like everybody's also looking for that too. Like, that's the thing. It's like who Purdue's looking for, everybody else is too. So it's,
and we might have one that's redshirting.
Exactly. Yeah. Might, you never know.
Don't know. Don't know.
Which is a whole other conversation people want to have, but
yeah.
Painter's not anybody redshirt. No. Like, he would not have made a difference on this.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, it's like, right. It was the same thing in 2021 when, or another year before when Newman was redshirting. It was like, he could, it's like, he would not
have made a difference.
Like, maybe a game, maybe. Maybe. But yeah, I think it's just not like we can just go out and get, obviously we've been very fortunate to be guys gotten, but again, like the people, the guys that people are asking for are future lottery picks. And those aren't exactly a dime a dozen. So it's like, it's hard. Like, that's where the development comes from, and hoping that, you know, someone can turn into, you know, a no gel, hopefully with offense.
Gel was also a 4-star. I will also say, like, there's potentially a buyer's remorse too, because of, you know, the Ronnie Johnson, Donnie Hale, that kind of situation. Like, do you want to go out and try to get these kind of guys, or do you want to have guys that fit who you are? Like, I think it's Gibbs Lawson is still out at UNLV. Like, we could have easily had him as point guard and putting up, I mean, Wright and McCutchen and everything. And it doesn't work like that. Like, he has a philosophy, you stick by it. And the only thing I had concerns with, and it's still something, is you're trying to make Kaufman Wren play a style of basketball as a four that we haven't seen since the San Antonio Spurs beat the Heat probably in 2012 in regards to two men on the block. I'm dead serious. Like, it doesn't exist, and they don't get brought up in AAU ball and high school ball playing two post players, like a center and a forward down there rotating on the block, posting up. Like, that kind of stuff, he couldn't play with Edie. We saw that 2 years ago, and he's having a hard time with Clough. I mean, he played great. I mean, he had 26 shots last night, but he trying to rebound the hell out of the ball, but he's a defensive liability, but he doesn't know how to play in confined space is pretty much what it is. Wes would have not made a difference. I asked you both. I don't think Heidi made a difference. I don't think Colvin would have made a difference.
No, I agree. And that's what I was trying to say, I guess, is by all accounts, he's the best on-ball defender the team's got. So that's something to look forward to for next year. That's what I was trying to say. And I still think CJ and Jakari are good defenders. And I think other guys have room to improve. I just think it was a downer take last night when I got the text message.
Jakari played great in that first half, I thought, in regards to effort, what he was doing. Like,
I thought the effort was there across the board from everybody last night. I thought they played their ass off. It just just didn't make shots, and Michigan did. I mean, it got beyond the glass. So,
What's your second question?
Oh, we kind of already hit on it. It was Painter's way of doing things. Have we hit the ceiling? Like, 1%, I think as long as Painter's here, we're always going to be good. But we can't get over that hump I got to live with 2 years ago. It was best sports season of my life. Don't think we're ever going to get back there type of thing. Just, I got a lot of different text messages from people that I kind of just all put in together. So,
I don't
just wanted to throw out there.
If this year isn't it, I mean, I don't think it's the end I at all. I mean, we didn't think Klein Carson would.
Oh, God, no. That team was, I say it all the time, 6-5 at one point of the season. I hated them. that they were so selfish. Yeah. And it was almost a team that got there that we didn't expect. So,
yeah, it was a team that lost first round of the Big Ten tournament. Like, it's not like they were playing like amazing. Like, going into that tournament, it was like, yeah, we won the Big Ten, but it's not like we were, you know, lighting the world on fire.
Carson was god awful in January, and he wasn't very good. Then he just had an unbelievable heater in the NCAA tournament. That helped too.
Which that's part of it. Yeah. I saw highlights. I saw random highlights of him come up, and it was like that IU game in Bloomington that year was 49-47.
He shot like 5 for 30.
Yeah.
He was awful that game.
Like, neither team broke 50.
People forget that. A lot of Purdue fans forget how bad he was for like a stretch. And the other guys stepped up. That's why we won the Big Ten. The other guys stepped up, or tied for the Big Ten.
Yeah. But I think, I think it's a tired take. It's been.
It is. It is. It's.
And it's like, again, and maybe this is just me being, the cautious person I typically am. It's like, obviously, like, we would be a UConn, we want to be these, Houston that's perennially there, but we could very easily slip back into being Ohio State right now. Like, it could be a lot worse.
Caleb Gerald here on Facebook said, stick with the program because at some point there will be salary caps / transfer limits and teams won't be able to be loaded with transfers.
I hope. God, I hope. Yeah. It just sucks that, like, the best years that we've had just kind of coincides with this just absolute wild west of college athletics. But
I will say this. Painter, though, shows that you had a team like this. He can adjust. He will adjust from it. Like,
Aaron, I was told on the message boards last night he didn't make adjustments. That's what they were saying on the message boards last night.
I read. And I just was like, that's why I went. You all know.
You could tell the ones who only come out when Purdue loses and say things. Oh, my God.
I was telling Evan earlier about my friend doesn't want to talk to me because he still thinks Braden's National Player of the Year. He thinks Naismith. And I was like, what? And he still thinks this is national title team bound. And I was like, you need to be honest that this is just a second weekend team potentially. So, and he didn't want to talk to me till White Sox season, pretty much is what he said. So I was like,
because that's better.
Anyhow, let's pick some games and get out of here tonight.
Let's do it.
All right. Game that's going on right now. Barn burner. Northwestern, Maryland. Who's going to win this one?
Who's at home?
It's Northwestern.
Cass. Give me them.
All right. It's 34-35 half Northwestern. Tonight's game. Illinois.
Hey, you didn't let me pick Northwestern.
You just said give me the Cats.
That's what Tanner said.
You said give me the Cats.
I said home team.
You said give me the Cats.
I didn't say anything.
Whatever. All right. Illinois at SC tonight.
Illinois in a close one, but God, I hope USC wins.
I think so too. I think with Boswell, that'll help slow down little Arenas. We didn't play him. I saw him put up like 1,000 shots against Indiana, and they were able to pull that one out.
He's a gunslinger. I have to. I can't help it.
Yeah, just like his daddy. Give me Illinois. Yeah, I can't say.
He's got a real poker face on that kid. I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Why is there still not a Thursday game this week?
Big Ten is stuck this year.
Yeah, we play on Thursday next week. So
I know, but not this week. So
yeah, no.
I wonder if it has to do with like the Olympics. I don't know. Maybe that's has something to do with.
Could
maybe. I don't know.
I'm not TV's getting that. No, I'm not getting into Comcast Xfinity stuff right now. All right. Do you want to pin our game, or do you want me? We want to preview.
Let's save that for last.
All right.
Go through the other ones.
All right. Rutgers at Minnesota on Saturday.
Minnesota.
Rutgers with a nice win tonight at Penn State by 13.
Jesus Christ! What a bad game.
It was like a blowout at one point. We get Minnesota. Big win last night.
How many fans do you think went? 45 at Pitt State tonight? 45? I mean, students. 45 students. I know. God, I hope they had more
fans. 28. Yeah. Jeez.
On to the next one. Penn State, Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Man, Nebraska. Yeah, Nebraska needs this one badly. Hey, man, if they lose this one, oh boy. It's just a slide.
It is. They definitely knew it. I think they will, though. Next one, Washington at Maryland. This is a 3 p.m. tip.
Maryland, I guess.
This is a noon tip for Washington. Give me Washington.
I think Washington's better, but Maryland at home after traveling across country.
All right. Oregon at SC.
USC.
AUSC. Oregon's bad. Put up 44 last night.
They are.
At home.
I don't want to do this game because I brought that up this last week, but Michigan against Duke at Capital One Arena.
I think Michigan beats them.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I even said that the other night when I picked Purdue to beat Michigan. Michigan beat Duke, so I'm sticking with that. Who'd you pick, Aaron?
No, I was waiting for Evan.
Duke.
Okay, Duke. I think it's going to be Michigan. I think Naismith Player of the Year is going to be side this game. Illinois at UCLA. Will Cronin eject more of his players?
God, he's an idiot.
He's trying to eject himself.
I think he's trying to get fired.
I
think he wants Ohio State. That or he's hoping Wes Miller gets canned. He can go back to Cincy.
Butler could be open.
He's getting tired of the California taxes, is what I think.
I want to take about the Big East and like the Butler lack of funds.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Oh my God.
I want to take UCLA because I really think there's a good chance Illinois splits, but I'm going to take Illinois.
Same.
Okay. All right. Ohio State at Michigan State on Sunday.
Sparty,
yeah. Give me Diebler and the boys.
You're good at pulling out a road upset every week, so.
Yeah. I called Kauffman Wren's 12-12 last week, too. Wait, you picked us to beat Michigan. Yeah, Caleb, wait, you picked us to beat Michigan. Tanner, you picked us to lose to Iowa.
Yeah.
Keep that up. Yeah.
But what am I supposed to do for this next pick? I can't. I mean, put me in a bind there, Caleb. I know I'm a weird individual when it comes to my picks.
All right, next one, Iowa at Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, but I'm not as confident now after last night.
Okay. Next one, Washington at Rutgers.
Who the hell cares? Rutgers.
Yeah, Rutgers.
And I'm glad this game's not on CBS. Northwestern at IU on Sunday night.
Yeah, Indiana large in that one.
Yeah, Indiana home. Yeah.
And we'll wrap up the last two games on Sunday. Minnesota. What?
This is Tuesday.
Oh, this is Tuesday. Sorry. Never mind. We'll put a pin there. Because these last two games don't make sense because it's Battle of LA and then Michigan getting Minnesota, which I think they'll destroy Minnesota. So we'll go back to our game on Friday night on national television, Fox 8 p.m. tip against IU. Gotta love when we big Kevin Warren Big Ten deal.
3 years in a row, or three out of the last four, we've played them on a Friday night at Mackey.
Yep.
Yeah.
So much for Indiana high school basketball.
Yeah.
It's not sectional time yet.
I know. They still wouldn't. TV carriers don't care.
No.
Yeah, Caleb put me in a bind here, but I can't pick Indiana. Score, I'm sorry.
Nope. Score, player of the game, spicy prediction.
Bold prediction.
Bold prediction. Right. Where are you going from?
Purdue wins 82-68. I wonder what the spread's going to be, by the way.
That's what I just did.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you.
it's going to be like
7, 8
and a half.
Oh, okay. Player of the game, Trey Kaufman ran. I don't think he has 27 or 8, 28, whatever he had last night again, but like a 15 and 12 type game from Sellersburg, my God, Indiana. So, yeah, I think he comes out to play. And a bold prediction. Omer scores double figures.
Okay. Evan?
We go Purdue 84-72. Player of the game. God, I hope you're right, Caleb.
Caleb Jail said Purdue 95-57, TKR 2015
that's,
game.
That's a linear if I've ever seen one. My God. I'm going to say Braden has a bounce back game. In my bold prediction,
do it.
Braden needs his triple double.
Do it. I was hoping somebody was going to do that one.
Yeah. Okay. Caleb, I wish that would be the score, but as this podcast knows, rivalries are closer than that, but would hope that is the outcome. Purdue 77, IU 64. Player of the game, God, I want to say Aaron Fine. that would make my life.
If he's like, played the game, it's something bad.
If he's played in a 13-point game, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
that's a problem.
Secret weapon. We saved him all year.
The message boards would just erupt. No, player of the game will probably be Fletcher. I think Fletcher's probably going to have a massive game.
We each went with one of the seniors. I like that.
But my bold prediction is I think Coffin Wren has over 20 rebounds.
He better. Honestly, like, we need it.
But hopefully the outcome, I think I'll ask this before we kind of pay our bills here. Outlook, what do you think of the last five games, folks? I'm thinking 5-0.
Weren't you saying we were going like 5-3-2 or whatever in the last?
No, I said 5-4. But now we've passed those games. We've passed those games, so now we're at the 5-0 start.
I feel pretty good about our chances 5-0. I think at worst we go 4-1.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't as much as last night sucked. Obviously it kind of maybe changed the reality a little bit, but that doesn't change where I think this team can go and what they can do these last five games.
I mean, you get three. I mean, you're playing three teams that are in the tournament as of now, but three home games, then your two road games are definitely games you can go get. It's not like you're going into Breslin or State Farm right. Center or Chrysler, you know.
Chrysler.
Martelli can drop 100.
Oh, he could. It could. I mean, we've had good teams go in there and lose, and like Evan said, Ohio State's a thorn in our side. I'm not saying it's gonna be easy, but they're games you should probably go in and get more times than not.
We'll be favored. We should be favored in a game the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Good way to put it. Yep.
All right. 5-0. We're already past the 4-game stretch. I thought we'd start losing. So
5-0 till we're not. Right. Yep.
Hey. Yep. Well, I'll go down as the optimist for this team.
You are doing that this year.
I'm riding hard because I know the pessimist is coming back out in Labor Day weekend.
And then that's when the optimist of me comes out for some godforsaken reason. And then Webby's like the neutral one in the middle, keeping us both like in the right lanes.
Until the tipping point happens, and I just want to.
I'm going to, as Green Day says, wake me up when September ends. Wake me up.
It is going to be the pivotal month in the season. I hate that being the first month, but you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
With that, let's pay some bills. So, Boy Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mush. Mushroom serving Boilermakers since 93. Mad Mushroom is located in the heart of West Lafayette and is well known as the home of the original cheese stick. But when any of the Boiler Breakdown crew is in town, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer, try out the latest pizza of the month, which is the Taste of Chicago. It's their signature ranch topping with spicy capicola, salami, red onions, Chicago-style spicy giardiniera, and mozzarella cheese, finished with their Italian aioli drizzle. So next time you're in town, order online, use the promo code BREAK526. That is BREAK526 for $5 off any order over $20. That can include cheese sticks, grinders, pizza of the month, other pizzas of the month. Just use that online. You can't use it in store. Also check out their social right now. I mean, they have deals going on during the week. I didn't check out before this episode what's going on this week, actually. But they've been having stuff.
I have some breaking news. Well, kind of. It hasn't really happened yet.
They're opening a new location.
47 seconds left. No, this is not Mad Mush. Sorry, Mad Mush. With 47 seconds left, UConn is down to Creighton by 11.
Beautiful. Never do that to me again. Never say you have breaking news on this podcast because I thought for sure somebody tore their knee and I'm just going to walk off
the monitor. I just thought for the people who were working out last night, like, Purdue lost to a, and this is in stores. And it was in a 13-13 Creighton. So
before we get to our next sponsor, can I make a gripe real quick about something?
Sure.
Sure.
Hey, Purdue, when you do a promotional bobblehead night, make more than 2,000. Give some other people besides students a chance.
Yeah.
I didn't
like at least 5,000 or something. I mean, come on. Yeah,
so you hold.
Seems like a Jerry Reinsdorf kind of move. Sorry.
No, it's stupid.
He made people pay for it.
Like,
I see you have a ticket, but
I mean, you know, back here, I got a row of bobbleheads. The first four over there, All Star, Breeze, Tiller, and Gene Katy, those were sold in bookstores like when I was young. Mm-hmm. The rest, two of them I got in college, and the rest I actually had a friend give them to me. She didn't want them anymore. She just gave them to me. So, I mean, if you don't get one, you got to, unless you know somebody that doesn't want them, you got to go on eBay and literally pay probably triple figures, which is ridiculous to get one.
Yeah.
Well, false. So. You have to pay more, whatever it is, because it would have been free with admission.
You're right. But yeah, I just think it's kind of ridiculous. Like, they don't. I know I'm not expecting them to make one for every single person there, but give more people a chance. Than I mean, God, the paint crew gets in right there when the doors open. 2,000 went through in 6 minutes. So I don't know. Old man yelling at clouds over here.
No, it seems like a Jerry Reinsdorf thing. Let's go to our next sponsor.
Let's do it.
Evan, you want to talk about the shop?
Yeah, see? Like Caleb says, you got to pay like $100 on Facebook Marketplace for them. All right.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Just break into someone's house, steal it. Who cares?
Well, you could. I mean, I don't want one that bad enough, but somebody might.
Don't go to jail over this. The Boiler Breakdown does not condone violence or theft.
or a lot of Aaron's thoughts. In opinions.
Yeah, those opinions are of this group. Evan, let's talk about the shop.
Cue the ticker.
That's false.
Anyways, happy to be at the shop as I just dropped my headphones. They've been making Hometown Apparel 2011. We've got three locations, one in Broderville, one in Carmel, one in downtown Indy. If you find yourself in Indianapolis, stop on by. But if you can't, go to shopindy.com, use promo code breakdown for free shipping. Boilermaker owned.
Yeah, they're pumping the Gene Katy Bob Knight shirts today, which I don't know if you guys hit on this at all or not, but what a gesture, cool gesture by Zach Edey yesterday after halftime.
That was so cool.
Holding Gene Katy by the hand and getting the 89-year-old legend to his seat. That was so cool to see. So
and it goes back to, I don't know if it was the Big Ten Championship or the Final Four when he like went over and gave Gene a piece of the net.
Final Four.
What was the Final Four? Yep. Yeah. Like,
yep.
Yeah. It was cool. It was Zach's first time being back. We'll see him there. You had Lance Jones was there too. Obviously Robbie announced for Robbie Bobblehead Night. But yeah, it was cool. It just kind of goes to show just the person he is. And it definitely wasn't one of those, like, his first show. Like, you can definitely tell like he cares about Gene and Gene cares about him, so it was really cool to see.
And shout out to Isaac Haas too. I don't believe at least I don't think he had been back, so he was there.
Klein was Ryan there too. Klein,
Ryan goes, I think, quite a few games. So. Yeah,
yeah,
cool.
I will going back, Tanner, to your point. Students didn't have all of them. Noah Eagle got one.
So did Jeff Goodman.
Well, and we all know one guy that got two. So from our hometown. So I know not all of them go students, but majority. I just think that's not fair. They have an advantage. They're right there on campus. And
they, and I think they still get in earlier. They get earlier, too. I think they get in earlier than general public.
Yeah. But I will say that's how they got the two when I was in school, the Glenn and the Joe Barry, which somebody helped me get one because I think it was the Glenn. I think I had an exam that night. Somebody got it for me, the Michigan State game that Gary Harris went off on.
Evan, didn't we have an exam that night? We didn't.
We did.
We didn't get the – I didn't get a Glenn, I remember.
No, I remember sprinting over from wherever our exam was.
I think my one of my roommates now wives, I think she didn't want it, but she grabbed it for me, I think. So,
yeah. All right, closing thoughts.
Pick ourselves up off the mat, like you've been saying, and POTFH on Friday.
And the words of Tanner's favorite human ever, just win, baby.
Yes.
Why did he have to say that? Why couldn't somebody cool say it? Because it is a great saying.
See, not all our thoughts are collective here. Therefore, that banner down there needs to be removed. That's all tonight, folks. Have a great one.
Boiler up, hammer down, beat the Hoosiers.